So good morning. You were like singing today, like you were in church. I'm really glad to be back with you. Just was gone for a few days, and it was odd. I hate to be cocky about this. I feel like you need me here because it was fall when I left, and it's spring when I got home, and something happened in between without me here. It looks like in the area, and then Christopher got all hairy with me gone too. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going on around my church family? Really grateful this morning to share with you a picture of where I think our church is headed and where we need to head. It's a kind of a vision Sunday, and if we're inviting you to give your resources, your time, your energy, your financial gifts, I feel like you should have some idea of where we're headed together. So that's what this morning is about. Sam, if you would help me with the scripture lesson, thank you. It comes from the book of Isaiah 43. Forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new, says the Lord. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wastelands. The word of God for the people of God. So I want you to have a little picture that maybe we're on a ship together. And if we had a manual for sailing in our church, your first question might be, like, how can we stay afloat? This is what most churches teach and do. Personal morals, mores, values, manners. If this all a church was, it would be boring, repressive, and uninspiring. Useful to keep your boat afloat, but that's sort of the end of it in many, many churches in America. Secondly, the manual might have to do with how can we keep from hitting each other? So first, morals, how do I keep my boat afloat? Secondly, how do I go from not banging into each other and bringing damage? Social ethics, how do we get along? How do we interact? How do we cooperate? How do we do no harm to others? Nice, isn't it? The church has produced nice people, but sometimes boring, dreary, and unimaginative. Third, you might ask, but if we're out to sea, then where are we going and what is the destination? Is it enough just to be in a shipworthy vessel that just kind of floats and bobs around and travels at random? You might ask the question here in this church, where are we going? Is there a destination? And why are we even at sea? Says the Proverbs, there, where there is no vision, a people perish. I don't know if the writer of Proverbs simply means that we vaporize or vanish or disappear or churches fail and fall apart and close without vision. Or maybe he meant where the people have no vision, they perish, meaning they get together. You know what I mean? They cluster, they congregate, they huddle, but they don't do much. And then they die. So I think I told you when I was a kid, my first chance to play football under Coach Hood. Isn't that a great name? That was really his name. He would teach us how to get into huddles, and we had to practice huddles for 2 days, and it drove me crazy wild, like I just wanted to hit somebody and play the game and get muddy and dirty and have fun and get trophies for hitting people instead of being in trouble. So I said to our bishop not too long ago, it seems like to me in the church, when it's all said and done, sometimes there's way more said than done. Like sometimes we get into huddles, but we talk and we plan and we finance and we consume our own resources, but we're not really going anywhere. George Lucas, the writer of Star Wars, the director of Star Wars, said in the middle of its filming these immortal words, vision is critical. Unless you can see it, you can't do it. So churches need to see where they're headed. In the long run, people only hit what they're aiming at. And when we aim at nothing, we hit it every single time. In my own life, dreams seem impossible, real vision seems undoable. And then later it seems improbable. And then finally it seems inevitable. If only we could see it and move toward it and believe it and hold on to it. Dissatisfaction and discouragement are not caused by an absence of things, but by the absence of vision in a person's life. It's where we get bored. Listen to these great words of Sir Francis Drake. He writes, "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have become true, we have dreamt too little, for we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to shore. Oh, disturb me again, Lord, when the abundance of things we possess have caused us to lose our thirst for the adventures of the waters of the open sea. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed a vision of a new heaven to grow dim in us. Oh, God, disturb me again, to dream more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show the mastery of your people, and where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars again. We should ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and push into the future again with strength and courage and hope." So in this church, honestly, with all of its remarkable people and resources, sometimes I think our greatest danger is aiming our vision too low and accomplishing it, rather than to dream for something big, God-sized, and believe in it and do it. So you then ask, "Dave, quit with the poetry and speak plainly. What do you think is our destination?" I would say it like this. When I was 19 years old, this was the first time I ever heard this. And it might have been said before, I just didn't hear it, but I heard this. God was in love with me, liked me beyond my own craziness and wildness, had a dream for my life that could restore and heal me. I fell in love with a God who first fell in love with me. This is the destination of our church, is to create moments or millimoments for people where they see the face of Christ seeing them and then become the face of Christ for others. This is the destination of our church, is to hear the voice of Christ, if but for a moment in our life, and hear his love for us, and then become that voice for others. This is the destination of our church, to feel the touch of Jesus in our life, and then become that touch for another person. Scripture says clearly, one day we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We don't need to die for this to partly happen in our life. We can find heaven here on earth, and we can create heaven here on earth for some. So to speak very practically, then how do we get to this destination? First, in a little model like ACTSX, we begin by accepting people as they are. Not as they should be, not as we wish they were, not as they appear pleasant to us, but we accept people, crazy, dirty, sea-watered people, the way they are, and for who they are. And we see what God will do with them. In fact, found statistically that 83% of all Americans visit a church for the very first time because they're in pain or transition. It's not like in the 1950s where people moved and then looked for a United Methodist church. We aren't in Kansas anymore, Dorothy, or something like that, it goes. Or is it Toto? I don't remember. But the truth is that people come into our doors in the midst of grief after losing loved ones, hearing the words from a doctor, it's cancer, it could be terminal. They come to us when their lives have fallen apart and their dreams are broken, and that they're at the very end of trying on their own, and they're wondering, I wonder if church has anything to say, or if God can speak to me there. 83% of Americans visit church for the first time in pain. So if that's true, sometimes painful people, people in pain, are not really fun people to be around. Case in point. So I ran in my first marathon a number of years ago, and my first mile, it was just a blast. I was thanking the workers for being there. I was taking water and just saying, thank you for bringing water. It's so sweet of you. You gave the day off for that. And then my friend would say, we need to keep running. So like I was running, but I was high-fiving people, you know, and like, and then like at mile 15, I quit doing that. And then at mile 24, it was like, if anybody spoke to me or touched me, I wanted to slap them. I just thought, get away from me. I would take the water from people and say, you could have reached out a little farther to hand that to me like that, or it's not cold enough. And I mean, I was just getting grouchy. Yeah. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been tired and broken or burned out or frustrated or hurt? And you lose, well, for me, my Christian veneer is gone, and who I really am sometimes emerges up out of that pain. So literally in this race, some guy who was running a 10-kilometer part of the relay came up next to me at mile 24 and wanted to chit-chat. And I just said to him, you know, let's talk later. It's a big open road. Maybe you can move over a little bit. This guy was just like real pleasant, wanted to chit-chat and didn't take the hint. And he literally got so close to me, he stepped on the back of my shoe and gave me a flat tire, like what you do to kids in middle school you don't like. Do you remember those days? So I was like, I had to stop and fix my shoe, and I almost said something to him that a man of God should not be saying. He was really frustrated and tired. And think of this, the almost 800 first-time visitors that came to our church, if they were, according to statistics, 83% of them felt like that when they came here, not wanting to be sold something or pushed down their throat. They just probably dream of a place where people could accept them for who they are, the way they are. There's this great African-American spiritual that goes like this, I'm not what I should be, I'm not what I could be. Thank God Almighty, I'm not what I was. It only happens when people like you receive people like me the way that we are instead of the way we should be. Jessica and our children's staff does amazing things with hospitality parties to throw egg hunts and trunk or treats and vacation Bible schools so that we can intersect our community and find folks and touch them and accept them and listen to them and to love them how they are. I dream someday of a hospitality ministry where we have an atrium the size of this or bigger, where we can offer coffee and refreshments from volunteers who prepare it so that we can intersect people so that when the sermon's no good, they could have a reason for coming to church, and the reason might be you because you asked them, how are you? Or tell me about your life, or I'd like to know more. What did you think of the crummy sermon? Can you imagine, like, if we had people doing even better hospitality than we have to make people feel warmed and welcomed and loved and present here, accepting people as they are. Someday, let me just go back to this for one moment. One day I envision soon lay teams of people dropping off banana bread or a newsletter or both and just simply saying to first-time visitors, thank you for stopping. According to statistics, 3 times as many people would try us again and stick around if a lay person lovingly, non-judgmentally, non-preachy just simply stopped and said, we noticed you were in church and it mattered to us. Interestingly, the statistics go way down when it's the pastors who do that. I'm just saying. People want satisfied customers, not hired guns. Part of the vision for our church is to create parking. This is our parking lot 2 weeks ago at 925. to create space for people, room for people, so that they can come in. You're going to hear more about this after the first of the year. We've already started to work on the beginnings of a new parking area that will make space so that when we bring a new facility in the coming years to us, there will be places for people to park. Next, we need to connect people to Christ and to each other. We dream of a place that when we set sail, that we connect to each other, and we're not on a ship where people don't know each other or care about each other. We have a dream that people will come into small groups, on-ramp groups that are easy to understand for newcomers, as well as deep and thoughtful places of discipleship for committed Christians. But we dream of a place where people come and they experience something of Scripture, and it says this to them, my heart has been longing for this reality. My mind has been longing for a place where we would say, if not in a way where Jesus said, with his disciples, did not their hearts burn when he was with them and heard his word? We dream of a place where people connect in Scripture and learn to know and love and understand what it's about. We dream of a place in our church where there's more people in relational, loving groups, where friendships can emerge, where goodness is shared, where people in hospitals that are from small groups that go into the hospital can be visited. One of my greatest joys as a pastor is when I show up in the hospital and there's already been two or three other people from our church that beat me there and have loved those people and cared for those people and prayed for those people like a real body instead of just a part of the body caring. It's our dream that people would know and be known in non-judgmental places within groups. We dream of a time when mission and task and service can be lived out within those groups. So instead of us using newsletters and emails to communicate, a small group leader says to a group of 10 to 15 to 20 people, why don't we join the rest of our church family and go get on a blue bus or serve at Laura's home or rake some leaves or do quarterly missional tasks together in relational groups. Someday in our church, people will hear more what's happening through their small groups than they ever will from our website or through a newsletter. We dream of affinity groups where people connect, like moms groups. Our new moms group are making meals so that people who've been in hospitals can find meals delivered to their homes afterward and sense the love of Christ. We dream of lots of different affinity groups. We are starting to marry people without charging them money. Isn't that nice that we can roll out the red carpet and say to people, you know what, you're not here to pay for our building, that's our deal. We're here to love you and to serve you when you come to be married. And part of the dream of the church is to, instead of a middle-aged person who read marriage books 35 years ago to prepare for marriage, to create classes and groups and clusters where there's interactive conversation, learning, and relational connections. Could you dream of a place maybe where people feel so loved and so honored and so connected that after a marriage group, and this happened in a church where I was serving, the group came to me that was half of them had been unchurched and the other half had been churched. They came to me afterward and said, do you mind if once we're married, we stick together and get another book and keep going together? I said, okay. Imagine, dream of a destination where people are connected through marriage retreats, through pre-marriage class, through small groups, maybe in couples or singles or mixed, and maybe even quarterly dinners where for entrance ramp people, they could get into clusters of eight and move around each other's homes and share meals and just simply get to know each other. We dream of people organizing these visions after seeing them and being moved to do them. Our church simply wants to be about relational connections. Imagine a church where different men's ministries pop up all over the place. Now, once a month on Wednesday evenings, we're going to gather many of the men of the church and share life together and then pair up possibly in as prayer partners so that we can be praying for each other through the month with low commitment of time and high expectation of care. We have amazing children's ministries where kids connect all over the place that was shared beautifully with you earlier by Scott, but we're so deeply proud and want to build on the things that the kids are doing. We want to help people be trained and equipped for ministry. We believe that to be a part of a sailing vessel, a crew would be needed to be trained to get us to our destination. Imagine a church where more Stephen ministers are being trained even now so that they can be paired one-on-one with other people who hurt or just simply are working through life issues and need someone with whom they can talk safely. People used to do this with a pastor, but for one or two pastors to listen to 1,500 people seems sick and crazy. We dream of a day where we have enough Stephen ministers to listen to and love people that are in transition who need the care and who have received more training than Christopher and I've received in seminary through a Stephen Ministry training program. It's a remarkable process. We dream of expanded care ministries where lay teams of people are calling in hospitals along with pastors, doubling, tripling, quadrupling our care of people who are physically and emotionally hurting. We dream of a time where maybe when people get home, they're called on and stopped on, not just by pastors, but also by lay teams of people who can check up on them and deliver meals and make sure they're doing okay. We dream of a parish nurse program that might follow that even and help from our church in Christ-centered ways to do things for people that are needed after long-term hospital stays. I dream of a time when God's love enfolds people in powerful ways beyond the ministries of two professional clergy people. We have a remarkable prayer chain and prayer warriors and prayer ministry team. Even right now, while we're in worship, there are people praying for you. But we want to see expanded prayer ministries that each person finds the joy of an intimate and personal prayer life that can be discovered in safe ways through Taizé and expanded Taizé services, as well as through meditative prayer workshops and safe experiences which have recently been emerging here around our church. Just one last nudge, just saying. So the thing that would finish and continue this cyclical and spiral process of every person finding a place to serve and connect into the mission of our church and come to a destination of experiencing the love of Christ and then sharing it with another person, whether it be through the ministry of the church or through your relationships at school or work, or for moms and dads to care better for their own kids and vice versa. We believe that God is equipping us to send us out into the world so that we can accept tired and wet people just the way they are, so the cycle might continue of grace. A quick story and then a 1 minute video to finish up. So Alex, this guy, his name was Alex, he came to our church through an AA program in a previous church I served. He said he'd been downstairs in AA and never come up to the sanctuary ever. He thought he would just try it once. He said, "I had my life changed by God downstairs, but I found out his name upstairs." That's just the way he said it. Beautiful young guy with shaved heads and tattoos all over. As soon as he showed up, he said he looked around. He said, "I just didn't know if I belonged." He said, "I just knew I looked different and didn't know if people would accept me." But through a process like this, Alex was accepted by loving people, listened to, cared for. He ended up connecting into groups and then into a ministry called Royal Family Kids Camp that's coming to our church, where he went off to camp to serve abused and neglected kids. And Alex knew better than any kid what that felt like. He became one of the dynamic counselors of that ministry and one of the front people for many years who loved abused and neglected kids. And Alex one time said to me, "If I couldn't do this, I don't know if I could live anymore." Wouldn't it be neat to see people find a place within this wheel that if you stop doing it, something about life would seem to be lost for you? So instead of listening to my squeaky little voice talk about sending ministries, for the next minute and 45 seconds, we wanted to submit to you some ideas and pictures or places where people like you could connect into and be sent out into the world to bring joy and harmony and a destination to others.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. Cross where you love.
So my dream, my hope for this church is that maybe somebody could walk through that door with their shoes being stepped on and be all tired and grumpy and weary and meet people like you and think in their hearts, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. May God empower you and bless you as you find a place to be a part of this picture and to help heaven come to earth in Christ. If you'd pray with me, then we'll sing a closing song. On the eve of this Thanksgiving, Lord, we offer you our lives for your great love for us, knowing that there is nothing we could do to make you love us more. Come, Lord, now and help us to roll up our sleeves and say thank you with the whole of us so that we might experience more of you and others might hear and wish to believe in Christ. Amen.